The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded Draft Edition. We are working on the draft prospects and different guests to have a different evaluation. And I'm joined today by one of my favorite guests, and that's Matej Deraj from McKings. Matej, how have you been?
Hello, Patrick. Thanks for having me. This is one of my favorite podcasts to appear on, so the feeling is mutual. And I'm doing great. I had an emotional roller coaster because I've been watching the Slovakia Canada game at the World Championship, and it was just an intense game to watch. So as long as I simmer down a bit, it will be all good.
You look a little bit, disheveled.
Yeah,
with the hair on fire, more or less. But yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Dalibor Dvorsky, obviously, a player we've spoken about continuously throughout the year, Matej. But first and foremost, as you mentioned, we are watching the World Championships, and why isn't Dvorsky there for the Slovak team?
That's an interesting question, because many Slovak fans, I think most of them, were calling for Dvorsky to appear on the national team, because last year we had Juraj Slavkovský, Šimon Němec and Adam Sikora. All of them were given a chance in their draft year to play with Slovakia at the men's world championship, and Dvorsky isn't there, which is surprising. I think there are a couple of reasons why he wasn't invited. I think maybe the timing played a role, because since Slovakia managed to reach the semifinals and played for the bronze at the U18 tournament, I think it was 7 games in 10 days, which is always a tough pill for those in prospect to play in so many matches in so little days. So I think maybe the fatigue came in, or maybe they thought he wouldn't be ready to hop on immediately, even though he's a young player. And he wasn't really able to or allowed to be given a chance in the preliminary games, because I think he would play with Austria. I think it would be the first game, but Austria, as we know, we don't really like Austrian players in here, because they always tend to play dirty and have those dirty plays. I think it's every year a Slovak player is injured in those games, so maybe they were trying to protect Dvorsky from them, or I don't know. I also think the offense is quite good this year. Maybe Dvorsky would be an extra forward if he came. Maybe he wouldn't draw into the lineup, but I think he should have been given a chance. I didn't really have an opinion on it back then, but as I'm looking at this roster and given his draft stock and how he played at the U18s, and also the assistant coach of the men's national team said, I think it was back in January, that if Dvorsky performs extremely well at the U18s, he will be given a chance. And I think all he did was play extremely well at the U18s. So he should have been given a chance, in my opinion. So it's a weird situation. I think they have their reasons. I think they can, or we can understand why he wasn't invited, but it's definitely a weird situation.
Yeah, and we can't really claim fatigue, because he hasn't been used by AIK in Hockey Allsvenskan that much this year.
Yeah, unless with Slovakia 18.
Yeah, so he had an outstanding under 18, and he has had a tougher season with AIK. And let me if I should explain this a little bit, AIK was closer to the bottom than the top in Hockey Allsvenskan, and with the relegation and promotion system that we have in Europe in many leagues, the coach obviously will sideline the junior players because he will trust his, and I'm using the quotation marks, you can't see it on the pod, but he would trust his older, established players to perform under those circumstances. He wasn't given the time on a power play unit. He wasn't given the time to shine. He was further down the lineup, more often than not on the third line, and being used in that respect, it didn't give him the time to shine in Hockey Allsvenskan. But when he was asked to lead a team among his peers for Slovakia, he did outstanding.
Yeah, he was just, as you said, outstanding. We all expected Dvorsky to be the leader, and not just point-wise. I think his play was also how a leader should appear and how he should play. I think Dvorsky had the right time to, or the right timing to make the plays. He knew when it was needed to hold the puck, maybe for a little bit to keep it, to calm down, or when it was needed to speed up and to just shoot the puck more. And he did extremely well. He scored all the crucial goals. He was involved in all the crucial actions. And he was a big part reason why Slovakia managed to fight for a medal, even though it wasn't successful in the end.
Indeed. And we're coming back to this. Even if Dvorsky is a sort of Swedish product and Slavkovsky might have been a little bit of a Finnish product, but the Slovak development program is really starting to bring up new players. You had a good under 18, you had a good under 20, and now you had a good under 18 again. So there is reasons to believe that Slovakia is coming up. Looking at the season, let's start with the season I mentioned a little bit, but when you watched Dvorsky throughout the season for your work at McKean's and as a with Slovak interest, what has stood out at that time when he played against men?
Well, I think he played differently than when I used to watch him, because when he played with men, he played mostly on the wing, I think, and it was different because I've always seen Dvorsky as a true center. Even though I always liked his shot and those puck handling skills, which are most notable to wingers, to centers. But I think Dvorsky has put on some muscle, definitely. He learned how to play with men, even though he had a season with men throughout the COVID year. I think he played with Banská Bystrica in the Slovak Top Tier League, and he became the youngest scorer of the league's history, so he was kind of used to playing with men, but now he had to learn different skills. I think the Allsvenskan is a high tactical league. Mm-hmm. I think there are not many goals, even though I watched some playoff games and they were like, I don't know, 7-6, or maybe I just picked the right games. But I think Dvorsky has established himself more as a two-way player. I think I always liked his hockey sense, and he used to be at the correct spot at the correct time, but now it was more evident. I think he was trying to fit in well with men, even though it wasn't as his offensive skills were not on display as they used to in those lower categories, just in juniors or the U18s. So yeah, there were some things that stood up to me, and then the U18s came and he just started to perform.
Yeah, and if we look back at the under 18 playoffs in Sweden, Dvorsky was a standout player. What was expected at that level? The quarterfinal, I think it was, between Frölunda and AIK turned out to be more or less a shooting match between Otto Stenborg and Dvalibor Dvorsky. Fantastic to see and all that. And Dvorsky came out on top. And I think that's fair when you look at their different attributes and skill set. But as we said, he's become, or you said, he's become more tactically astute. He's become aware of what he needs to do. He knows what to work on to become a successful player down the line. When we look at him, though, at the under-18s, you mentioned the leadership. It's something that hasn't really been obvious, not even at under-18 level in Sweden. Was that surprising to you?
It was a nice thing, because when we look at Borski, he spent the last three seasons with older players. I think he played back in the U18s maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So seeing him come back to his, let's say, peers level was a thing that, well, nobody really knew what he was going to do. We all expected him to be the leader since he got the experience from the men's leagues, the U20s. He played at various U20s tournaments, at the World Juniors and so on. So I think he was expected to perform, but nobody really knew what he was going to do, even if we all hoped he would do good. So it was a bit surprising, I have to admit. I didn't expect such dominant performances from him. So it was a pleasant surprise. I'm glad he met the expectations and even exceeded them.
Yeah, indeed he did. And for people that has watched or has only watched Borski in the under-18s, how would you describe him as a player? And start by taking the good things, and then we'll talk about, you know, development angles later on.
Yeah, I watched Borski for a year, so, and he's still becoming I'm not saying a different player, but there are still, let's say, new skills or new tendencies to his game. So I've noticed he's put on the muscles. So I would describe him even as a future, maybe a power forward or forward who likes to finish his checks, and that was something new for me. So if we look at the trend, I think he will keep on building on this. So let's hope there's a future for him as a strong, not as mean, but finishing forward. He obviously has a great shot. He's been used as a shooter, as a power play threat at all levels. So I like his shot a lot. I think he has good hockey IQ and has the ability to read the plays and to make the right plays at the right time. I think his defense is okay. I think he can be a solid two-way player. I'm a little higher on Dvorsky than most of the people, because I think he's believed by many to have a low ceiling, which I don't quite believe. I think he has a higher ceiling. I'm not sure if he can become a point per game forward in the NHL, but I think being a one or two center able to score, let's say, 30 goals, because I really like his shot in the NHL, is not a prospect that should be passed on or to be regarded as someone with a low ceiling. And, well, he has good size. Obviously, he's put on the muscle, so He's not someone who will be pushed around the board. And, well, what about him? I like how he performed the U18s and how he's let's say working on his weaknesses. So let's see what's next for him.
Yeah, and I think as you mentioned, I have never seen him has a low ceiling either. I've maybe seen him as a safe pick because he will play the NHL, but that doesn't mean that he will have a low ceiling. That means that he will have a very good ceiling in many ways. And because not everyone is everyone who's drafted will play the NHL, but Borski is definitely on that right path. Looking at the weaknesses, you said Hockey Allsvenskan or SHL in general is very tactical games, even if they turn out to be shootouts sometimes. But but how can you see him? Because some mentions comparisons like Backlund or I've seen comparisons like Philip Danault, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, a comparison, but those two are really, really strong defensive players. Do you see Dvorsky developing that, or does he already have it?
I don't think so. And I also don't think that either Backlund or Danault are good comparisons for him. I've thought about this for a lot. I still want to see someone or see Dvorsky in someone, but I still haven't found the right player who I could compare it to. I've also seen Ryan O'Reilly being compared to Dvorsky, but I still don't think that's a great match because O'Reilly is also a defensive beast. He's great at face-offs. And well, I see the offensive part of Dvorsky's game, let's say, outweighing the defensive part. So I still see more of an offensive player in him, maybe someone who will score 60 points, hopefully. And, well, Backlund and Danault are more like half a point per game players who are trained on the PK. So I don't know. I would love to come up with a smart and precise comparison, but I've thought about this for a lot and still no player came to my mind. So hopefully I'll be able to come up with it
once. Obviously, everyone keeps harassing me about, you know, keeping players in Europe and et cetera, et cetera. I'll go on record here before you got to say anything. I think he should play in North America next year. Being drafted out of the first round, because let's face it, Dvorsky will be drafted in the top 15 at least, I would say top 10, but makes it possible to move him over to North America for AHL play or for junior play, much like Philip Mashar has played in the juniors this year. I would say Dvorsky is a better player in many regards, but also that you could put him in the AHL and develop him there. Do you agree with that, or do you have another assessment?
Well, I think he could handle the AHL. I mean, we've seen how Jiří Kulik plays in the AHL, and I don't think that was expected by anyone. He's just torching up the league. And I think Dvorsky is strong enough and maybe even intelligent enough to handle the AHL even at 18 years of age, which is quite unusual for young prospects to play in the A. So, well, I think if he plays the AHL the next year, he'll be developed more as the two-way players we've spoken about. And I'm still not sure if it's the right path for him. Well, maybe even playing in juniors in the OHL would be beneficial in some regards, because I don't think he had a strong season with men. I don't think he scored that many points as was expected from him. Maybe it was because of the usage, playing on the wing, and well, being in a highly tactical league. But he had great numbers in the juniors league, I think. He had like 2 points per game or so. So maybe even the OHL would be a bad step. I'm not sure how well he will be used if he stays with the AIK. I think he has a contract for next year too, but the NHL team will have a word in it as well. So
yeah, I mean, I would say that the NHL team would say you have to play him on the first line, you will have to play him all the power play units you can, and et cetera, et cetera. But I could also see an NHL team in this case, especially when looking at what happened when, like, Ermaki and Östlund and all the other ones playing in Hockey Allsvenskan this year and didn't succeed, with the pressure that it came from being on one of the top teams and being able, like, having to succeed. But yeah, I can agree with you that putting him in the juniors in North America and have his offensive game work its way into it and showcase that and have him build confidence in that kind of game would be equally and maybe even more successful down the line, rather than put him in the A and nail him to the bench if things doesn't work out, and more or less ending up in the same situation as he has this year, where he doesn't get those minutes, that those heavy minutes that he might need in order to that we saw him benefit from in the under-18s.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a certain, well, let's say, he has never played on North American ice before, if we don't count the World Juniors and those tournaments. So it's not always an easy step for young players, even though they have the talent. Because as Phil Meschar, who didn't have, an exceptional season, some of us had expected him to have. Mm-hmm. So maybe even the juniors wouldn't be a bad step. I still think Dvorsky is a well-rounded player who could hold his own in the AHL, but the juniors could be a great step too, even if, especially if he doesn't have a huge role in the Allsvenskan and he didn't have so much pressure on him. So yeah, putting him to North America could be beneficial, definitely.
You obviously work for McKean's Mate. It's how we met as well. McKean's rankings are coming out. I don't know if it's this week or next week, but they will be out soon anyway. We've seen Button just release his new ranking, updated ranking under 18s. He moved Axel Sandin Pelikka up to number 5. I'm going to start with that. And you look as shocked as I am in regards to that. What's your take on that move? Is it just because it's a weak defensive draft that you move him up because you think he thinks that players will need or teams will need these? Or is it just the fact that he had a very good under-18s again and you go by a recency bias?
Well, I think it's the latter because there's always a certain player that Craig Button really loves and puts him way too high, in my opinion. He had Edward Chalé at 2, I think, at the beginning of the year. Then he had him at like 4, above, much better prospects. And now it's Sandin Pelikka. I don't think it's that much weak of a draft when it comes to defense, because we obviously had David Reinbacher and, Tom Villander is also a good defensive prospect, I think. Then we have, Sandin Pelikka and many other guys. So I think a defenseman will be drafted inside the, top 10, maybe not top 5, because we have those 5, especially strong forwards, because this is a very, very good class when it comes to forwards. So I think it's definitely a bold move. Sandin Pelikka has the upside. He might, become the best defender of this class because he's a great offensive defenseman. He might score a lot of points in the NHL. He had a great tournament, but I think it's way too high to put him at 5. He might be drafted inside the top 10, or at 11 or wherever, but I think top 5 is generous.
All right. We will definitely have you back for how do you pronounce it? I would say Sale, but
Chalé.
Chalé. Yeah. You learn everything new, something new every day. Anything more you want to highlight out of the prospects that you think about? And I will ask you also before you let's highlight something first, and then we'll talk about my last question.
Well, I want to highlight Dvorsky skating because that's a topic I didn't really dipped into, because he was always he didn't have and he still doesn't have a great first step. I think that's a thing that he was always criticized for. So that's something we should keep in mind. But I think he's a great skater when it comes to his flow and the stride. I think he's very good at that. And, you can ask me about any other prospect you want.
No, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot here. And remember, this is a Montreal podcast. Who will go at number 5?
We'll go at number 5. Well, it might be Dvorsky, actually. I'm hoping it will not be him because of the pressure and everything. But, it depends.
Depends so much on... You could definitely have a Slovak line on the line, right? You could have...
it's... yeah, a line of Slavkovsky, Dvorsky and Meschar could be a nice thing and great for Slovakia and everything, but... I think Michko will fall, so it won't be Michko. I think Carlson, Smith, Fantilli, and Bedard will be gone. So who it might be? I know a forward, definitely. Maybe a guy like Leonard or Benson. or maybe even Ryan Becker. I can't really come up with one name. if I had to, I would say Dvorsky, but that's not something I want for him. So,
well, and this is a little bit of that mess that might happen at five, because you have those big four, and you don't have maybe we don't have enough of information when it comes to Matvei Michkov, because
yeah.
And I think you agree with me here, because I think we spoke about it late summer, that, you know, Matvei Michkov might fall because of the whole Russia and SKA situation. But on the other hand, he is one of the players that could really be a superstar in the NHL down the line.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Michkov will fall past eight, because we know what the Capitals pick at eight, and they have a strong Russian connection. So I think they will definitely take him if he's on the board. But, well, if he's taken inside the top four, then Montreal will have an easy choice, because it will be either Joel Karlsson or Will Smith, which are amazing prospects. But I'm not sure. I think he will fall because of the whole uncertainty and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and no one else will know how it will be like, and how long he will have to stay in Russia for. Even though he might become a superstar, he has the ability and the potential. So, yeah, it will be interesting to follow.
At least he plays for an army team, so he might get out of the army in that regard. It is what happened during the Soviet era with players like Larionov and Fetisov and mm-hmm. Makarov, etc. You've been listening to Matvei Derai. Mato Derai at Twitter. Please follow him. Please follow McKean's Hockey. We really appreciate you taking the time, Mato.
Thanks a lot. I'm always happy to join you, so anytime, and thanks for having me.